Today on Real Radio.
Your eyes, as they're receiving what's going on around you in this life, based upon what you're focusing on, will go through your eyes, and your eyes only act like a lens. Your eyes do not create light. They don't create darkness. They're just a channel. But when you, the will of who you and I are, if we begin to focus on, ooh, that, and ooh, wow, ooh, and God says, don't do that. Don't do that. If you stay focused on it, what goes in through here will eventually affect the innermost person of who you are, and that's where the darkness begins.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 features some of Messiah's most radical declarations. In the verses we're looking at on today's program, Jesus speaks of light in the context of a metaphor or comparison. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Turning on the Light.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's possessions. Could be his wife, her husband, car, lawnmower. Okay? Not on a curve. We don't grade like that. God does not do that. Listen, nor drunkards, partiers, revilers, people who party and argue, extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's the great news. And such were some of you. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. In other words, Paul was saying, hey, remember when some of you guys were a bunch of thieves and they're all in the bed? They're going, yep, we remember, we were thieves. Do you guys remember a bunch of adulterers? Boy, do we remember. Paul says, yeah, I remember you guys were a bunch of, remember idolaters and homosexuals and all that? Yeah, we remember. Paul says, such were some of you, watch this. And by the way, let's not point fingers at anybody. All of us in this room, starting with me first, are the chief of sinners. Hey, as you get older, especially when you're raising up your kids. Remember the stuff that your parents did to you that you said, I'll never do? Boy, when I have my kids, I'm never going to treat my kid like you treat me, parent. I'm not. You're thinking, I'll never be a dad like you're a dad to me. And then, listen, you start living your life with your kid, and you wind up saying the same thing that your dad said to you that you said you would never say to your kids. This is going to hurt me a lot more. It's going to hurt you. You know, that kind of stuff. Where does that come from? Learned response behavior. Listen, when we grow up, we're like sponges in every way. And when we see our parents growing up and they get in an argument, dad reaches for the bottle. As a little child, we begin to equate Jim Beam fixes the problem. It's not Jesus Christ. It's Jim Beam. It's Jack Daniels. It's a line of coke. It's a pill. It's violence. The little kid grows up and sees when something happens, when the bills can't be paid, dad winds up throwing things around the house. That's not in that kid's DNA. That kid watches this and it goes through the lenses of his eyes and it makes an imprint upon his heart. If he likes it or not, as he grows up, he begins to live out what he saw come in. And he may hate it. He may even shake his fist at himself and say, when will this cycle break? Paul just told us a moment ago, through Jesus Christ, the cycle breaks. Listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, but you can go to a psychoanalyst. You can go to anybody you want and pay the amount of money you're going to pay. I'm going to save you some money right now, and I'm going to get some nasty letters from people who are going to disagree with this. It may help a very, very tiny bit, but it's not going to help to the core. They don't deal in the realm of the spirit. They only deal in the realm of the psyche. In Greek, psychology, psyche is where we get that from. Jesus Christ, our chief surgeon, goes straight to the heart, and he changes our heart. Only God does that. He made you. He can lift the hood of your life and put in a new heart. It's a spiritual miracle that he does. It's awesome. God does that. Secondly, under this point, the need to see is vision. What we see gives us vision. Therefore, when your eye is good, Jesus said, your whole body's full of light. The word good here means focused, a directed beam, focused. Today we use the word laser. If you have an eye that is laser focused, then your whole body's going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. In John 12, 36, Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. And in John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus gives us vision. Another thing here, thirdly, under this point, what we see can ruin our lives as well. Look, my friend, you're either going to look to the things of God or the things of this world. It's black and white. I know it sounds simple, but it's true. What you and I look at can either bless our lives or ruin our lives. Did any of you, if you haven't seen it, you got to go see it. In fact, I think, fathers, listen up, dads, I think you need to view this first and then see if it's appropriate at the right time for you to show it to your son. With the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and 7 open, watch the DVD put out by Focus on the Family, James Dobson's interview with a guy by the name of Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy used to go to church growing up. Ted Bundy took God lightly. He just did the church thing because he was supposed to do the church thing. I have to do it. Then Ted Bundy got car keys, and Ted Bundy got a little bit older, and he was able to go out on dates. Ted Bundy was able to do drugs and drink and be a little rabble-rouser, as it were, and kind of shake things up. Ted Bundy began to commit fornication, go on a date. Then Ted Bundy began to take fornication further. Then he got into pornography because that wasn't feeding him enough. Then he got into pornography, but then that didn't feed him enough. And you read and you listen and you watch that DVD. He went from one thing to the next, till he went to snuff films. And what happened? How does a person murder in sexual torture people to death? Ted Bundy said he never started out that way. It graduated over that way. What I took in with my eyes, it made me who I was. Listen, it's true for every one of us in here today. What your eyes are feeding on, you will become that thing. Is it pornography? Watch it. It's going to consume you. Is it always looking over the fence at the greener pastures? It's going to consume you. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. God is warning us. I love you. I made you. I know what's best for you. Stop calling the shots in your life. I'll give you direction and I'll give you purpose and I'll give you vision. And I can help your life all the way through to the end. And we say, no, God, I'm going to take it from here. And we can't govern ourselves. And we begin to look at things that will kill us or those around us. Women today around this world, but no more than in America. Women today are so insecure. They're so terrified because their husbands are no longer satisfied and comfortable with their wife's body anymore because the men have ventured out away from the home and they've committed sexual lewdness by looking at pornography, and now their affections and their imaginations are somewhere else. And then they see their wife and nothing happens. God weeps over that. God invented sex. Satan makes lust. God creates marriage to fulfill that and many other things. Satan creates this world that you and I see today. It's a heartbreak. You get to watch it on TV. I pray that you don't. But it's ministries and it's pastors and it's police officers and firemen who pick up the broken lives and try to put them back together again, or the pieces of the skull off the wall when all hope is gone. Our nation is sick. All because we've refused the light of the world. Husbands, open the Bible. Find out what it is to treat your wife and treat her that way, the way Jesus would treat her, the way he treats the church. Kids, you need to love your mom and dad. Yeah, but you don't know them. I don't know them, but you know what? I know the Lord, and he wants you to love your mom and dad. Mom and dad, love your kids. Husbands and wives, love each other. God gives you the power, but listen, he gives us vision, and that eye needs to be focused like a laser on the things that matter and the things that count. And when every day, every one of us is tempted for our eye to be pulled off, every one of us. But you're a pastor. It doesn't happen to you, does it? I've got to drive down the 10 freeway just like you do with those godforsaken billboards enticing those poor truck drivers who have been away from home for 3 weeks. You don't think Satan knows what he's doing? It's horrific. Constantly. You can't even watch a baseball game anymore without some girl coming on an underwear ad. You see, well, she's an underwear ad. Oh, yeah, tell that to a 16-year-old boy. This world is sick. Watch out with the eyes through the windows to the very heart of who we are. It can ruin our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, that's sin. We're liars and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2, 9, he who says he's in the light but hates his brother is in darkness to this hour, to this moment. Those are strong words, but whatever we are focusing on, my friend, will either bless our lives or ruin our lives. Third and final point, turning on the light, the path that you and I are on. We need the light turned on to the path that you and I are living on. Verses 35 to 36. The light of God's word softens our hearts. You say, well, what does that matter? How does that figure? Listen, Jesus said, verse 35, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? What do you mean? The light that is in me is not darkness. It's an amazing word. Jesus is saying this. Your eyes, as they're receiving what's going on around you in this life, based upon what you're focusing on, will go through your eyes, and your eyes only act like a lens. Your eyes do not create light. They don't create darkness. They're just a channel. But when you, the will of who you and I are, if we begin to focus on, ooh, that, and ooh, wow, ooh, and God says, don't do that. Don't do that. If you stay focused on it, what goes in through here will eventually affect the innermost person of who you are, and that's where the darkness begins. And it starts to radiate, emanate outward until the light that we've taken in, we processed it wrongly. And the Bible says, and when that happens to someone's life, they become reprobate. Book of Romans chapter 1 talks about becoming reprobate. When you look at everything that everyone else is looking at, but you see it, watch, you see it and you get bitter. You get angry. You get critical. You're all upset. You judge people. Oh, yeah, you know what? She's nice, but I bet you she's... That is evil. Where does that come from? From the innermost parts of your heart. How did it get there? Your eye was not single. It wasn't focused on what it should have been. You guys, the Word of God judges us. No man has the right to judge any of us. God's Word judges us. And the Word of God says, Jack, church, you better be careful what you're focusing on. It matters. It will then begin to formulate opinions, views, and positions of our life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's as if this morning, this light in this room, if we laid a great film between you and the lights and put a lens, as it were, or if you put yellow glasses on, everything's yellow, everything's amber, everything's tinted. Because why? Because the lens is now tinted. But it's not a reality. God says, watch out. G. Campbell Morgan says, I love G. Campbell Morgan's writings. G. Campbell Morgan says that sin places cataracts over the eyes of our souls. He went on to say that if our eyes are receiving and transmitting selfishness, we're going to become a selfish person. If our eyes are transmitting or receiving mercy, we're going to become a merciful person. If our eyes are transmitting or receiving pornography, we're going to become a pornographic person. If our eyes are transmitting life and love, we're going to become a person of life and love. It's very clear if we can see. During the French Revolution, there was a band of Christians who just wanted their Bible. They didn't want the Church of England, and they didn't want the Catholic Church. They just wanted their Bible and Jesus. They're like you. And that was unacceptable. They had to choose. Catholic Church, Church of England. Pick. We don't pick anyone. Oh, right, you're arrested. They arrested them. They threw them in a dungeon. And there were about 9 of them in a pit. And it was a deep pit, and it had a crack over the top. And 30 minutes of each day, the sun would go across, and the sun would hit the wall and then go quickly across the floor to the other wall and be gone. 30 minutes a day, they had a beam of light. That was it. But you know what they did with it? They had one Bible. They sat in total darkness, and they waited for the light to come. And when the light came, it said there that they took the lightest little believer that they had, they gave him the Bible, and they lifted him up, and they took turns for 30 minutes holding him up as the sunbeam moved across down the wall, across the floor, up the other wall. They moved him like this as he read out loud the scriptures. And it was recorded there that while he was in the light, he told us about the light. That's the awesome truth. If you are in the light, you can tell people about the light. But some of you are sitting here today and you don't even know what you're talking about. You're a weirdo. I understand that you think I'm a weirdo. I used to think that people like me were weirdos too. And then God opened my eyes to see that the Bible's true, and then he can change my life and forgive me of sins, great sins. You know, some of those things that we read earlier, those were not my sins, but I'll tell you, worrying and violence. I had a horrific, murderous temper. And I grew up learning how to worry. I watched my mom. She had a PhD in worrying. She worried about everything. And when I gave my heart to Christ, the worry was gone. I felt like something was wrong. Well, who's going to care about the world's problems? Who's going to bite their nails and fret over all this stuff that's going on and the injustice in this world? God says, shut up and sit down. That's what I do, Jack. I take care of the world. He changed that in my heart like that. And then the second thing, just violence. Fighting and brawling and temper. Man, God is awesome. And what has he done in your life? And then there are those that are around us. He hasn't had a chance to do anything in your life. Oh, I got good news for you. He's waiting to do a wonderful thing with you. Secondly, he directs the way. The light of God's word directs the way. Then your whole body will be full of light. Having no part dark, your whole body will be full of light. How do you do that? Get into the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "Entrance of your words gives light and gives understanding to the simple." God's word changed your life. The more time you spend in God's word, the more it's going to come out of you. The more time you're in God's word, the more you're going to think it. And then finally here, the light of God's word fills our lives. Jesus said, "You now, us, the believer, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light, Christian, so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're going to end with a graphic right now, with a picture. Let's throw these things up, you guys. This is what's happening right now in Germany. These are guys, now just hold it right here. You guys, that's Calvary Chapel Herborn. It's a World War II U.S. Army installation that now Calvary Chapel Herborn bought. They own it. It's awesome. The prayer room's a bomb shelter. I think that's cool. But Pastor Edmund, they want their sanctuary redone. They need work done. And unfortunately right now, because the church is new, the new German believers, they don't get it. They don't understand that they're supposed to actually be part of the church. So what happened? A bunch of our guys last week got in an airplane and flew on over there. And you can go to the next slides. This is what they're doing. In fact, Pastor Edmund emailed me 11 hours. They had been working for 11 hours, first day, 11 hours. And he said, these guys from Chino Hills are crazy animals. They've done more in 11 hours than we've done in our time here. Keep going. These are all guys from the church. Look what they're doing. They're running electrical. They're laying the block down. They're building the sanctuary. They're building rooms. And the Germans were watching. That's okay. The Germans were watching. And here's the thing, talking to Edmund, the thing that blessed his heart. They are seeing people have traveled 6,000 miles to come to their church to make it better for them. And they're scratching their heads and they're wondering how in the world and why in the world is this going on? This is the love of God at work. This is what happens when God changes people's lives. Now, look, you may be sitting here saying, well, I don't go on mission trips. Hey, can you lay brick? Can you run wire? It's not just evangelism. This is some of the greatest ministry going on. The native Germans of that church are looking and seeing what these crazy, spirit-filled, Bible-believing Americans are doing. And it's making a difference. How did that ever come about? God's word went into their hearts, and now it's got to come out. What about you? What are your eyes feasting upon? You can leave right now and go spend 3.5 hours watching some knucklehead movie through the eye gate of your being into your soul, and it won't make one bit of difference for the good in your life. But we hem and haw that the Bible study went over an hour. God help us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Turning on the Light. A look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 33 through 36. It's part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that Calvary Chapel Chino Hills also has other media outreaches. HisChannel.com, for instance, carries our television outreach Journey with Jack Hibbs. And that's on HisChannel.com, which also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And in fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about that.
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, at hischannel.com.
Okay, you can find out more by visiting hischannel.com or simply click the link at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a midst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.